Okay, now let's, yeah, okay.
Hi, I'm Eric Swartz, WA6HHQ. I'm one of the two co-founders of Elecraft. Wayne Burdick and I started the company back in 1999, and actually started working on our first product before that. But we shipped our first product, the K2, in January of 99, and we've been at it for, well, certainly well over 22-plus years, probably 23, 24 if I'm counting right here, and we're still having fun at it, too. But, of course, the radios have gone from QRP radios in the early days to higher power radios and QRP radios, so we cover the whole spectrum of products and try to have fun radios that you know, high performance, but also fun to use. We're having a good time at it still, so it's all good.
How many QRP radios do you sell versus the higher power?
Actually, the KX2 and KX3, which all run, of course, you run them at 5 watts, or the KX2, I think, can go to approximately 10 watts, and the KX3 up to about 15. Those are probably similar volume in terms of unit volume to the K4, our high-end product.
Oh.
We do sell a 10-watt K4 also, but at that price level, most of the guys put a 100-watt amplifier into them also. Overall, KX2 and KX3 radios, of course, are all DSP baseband, where we mix down with a Talo-style mixer to baseband and then digitally signal process it for all filtering and or most of filtering and demodulation and so on. But, and of course, the inverse on transmit. But, of course, we've built nice portable packages from the Soda guys. Of course, use them quite a bit. And that's been very successful. So dollar volume, the bigger radios certainly probably dominate the dollar volume. But that doesn't mean we stop the interest in the smaller radios, because we're both we met when we started the company through NorCal QRP Club. So that's certainly part of our DNA. And I was coming from a high power down to QRP level. Wayne's always been QRP level. He's a brilliant designer. And we're both electrical engineer backgrounds, though I bend towards the management side to grow the business also, so, and manage the engineering groups and stuff. So we both have a great partnership on that. But the overall, you know, mix, we basically are always looking at QRP radios, and we're always looking at QRO radios at the same time. And some of that technology bleeds each direction, so it's a great cross-pollination.
I notice you still have the K2.
Yeah, that's actually two things. It's emotional, because that's our first product. We broke into the market with the K2. It still is the only probably high-performance radio that's in 100% solder heat kit style, you know, check off the boxes as you build it radio, so you can really understand both viscerally as you build it, but also theoretically if you want to understand the circuitry. And we can still get the parts for it. We've had to occasionally over the years modify the design slightly in terms of circuit board layouts for some surface mount parts that we pre-mount, but very few, probably less than 5, I think, in the whole design. And there's smaller ones. And we've been able to get all the rest of the parts. You know, someday that may be impossible, but so far we've been able to keep doing that. And that also, I think, stays close to our original DNA, where you get an enthusiastic crowd. I always say you get 10 dB more of value out of something you build yourself than just by purchase and stuff. And I think we certainly saw that with the K2. That product exploded in the market, of course. I think we surprised a few of our competitors with the performance numbers on it when it came out, so that helped a lot too. But the having that still in the market, we get new guys all the time want to do that. I mean, they want to build their radio all the way through, so that works out well. It's tougher with surface mount stuff, like our later radios, where you have to do it modularly, because packaging surface mount parts for individual circuit board assembly,
ooh,
a lot of them aren't marked. That's the first problem. They come off a reel, which is marked, but not the individual parts. Can you imagine dumping it on the floor and having it? You know, how do you deal with that? And from a technical support standpoint for us, that would be economically very difficult. So you'd love to do that on a large scale like we would have to do for a radio like we make these days, but we really haven't been able to. This through-hole stuff on the K2 just keeps going. It hasn't become impossible to find those parts yet. So we'll keep doing it as long as we can, and they actually go through waves of interest. You know, get new groups that discover it, and all of a sudden, they say, "Where'd all those orders come from?" But it keeps going out the door.
Wonderful.
Yeah, that's fun. We stopped some things we had to stop, like the for the QRP crowd, maybe they're happy we don't have a 100-watt amplifier internal for it anymore, because the transistors went obsolete. You can get them in the surplus market, but from a production standpoint, they're tough to get. And some of the other design parts of it, it became just uneconomical to make. But we keep making the QRP version. So, and, of course, you can hook it up to an external 100-watt amp. So there you go there.
Yes. It's something I use every day.
Oh. Yeah, it's a great radio. I have one. I won't sell the one I've got, I can tell you. It's actually, I have a couple of them. One that I built, which probably has been pulled apart a few times for a few prototype experiments. If you remember Don Wilhelm, who used to do a lot of our repairs back in, I think it's North out of Research Triangle Park in North Carolina.
Wow.
Don was a great guy. It still is a great guy, excuse me. And he's, but he wanted to stop doing the repair and support for it, because he did that for a long time. And also just was a wonderful contributor, like on the Ellicraft and QRP lists. And that was great. We Dave Van Walligan, now actually out of nearby to Detroit, outside one of the suburbs there in Michigan, takes care of all the repair. Don sort of handed off to him, recommended him, and Dave's taken over on it. But great guys to work with and stuff.
Wonderful.
Yeah. So it's still fully supported out there and repaired. And you get a lot of guys show up with unbuilt kits from 15 years ago, and Dave helps them get them out the door. So
that's wonderful.
Yeah.
So, are you planning any new radios?
Always.
Always.
I can't tell you what they are yet, though.
Of course, I know that.
But, we're certainly planning, and I'll be honest with you, planning both QRO and QRP radios.
Wonderful.
They don't show up in weeks. You know, it takes longer than that sometimes. But, and I won't tell you how far along they are, because that means that I usually get committed as soon as I open my mouth, if I'm not, you know, careful. But we're always thinking about stuff on both sides. Like I said, the QRP DNA runs pretty deep with us. It's... you know, we're practical. There's times you need more power, sometimes you don't. But it depends what you want to do with it. But I can tell you one of the biggest rushes I ever had in my life was the way Wayne and I met was he had designed the NorCal 40 for the NorCal QRP Club.
Mm-hmm.
And I had bought one in the first 100 production build, which is bare sheet metal, not painted or anything on it, and build your circuit board and put it in there. And then I started modifying it and writing articles for the NorCal QRP Journal. And then eventually he and I met at a meeting and found out that we had a lot of common interests. And, of course, it, a few years later, gelled into this company. But it's pretty deep in there. I don't think that'll ever go away.
Well, it certainly is good to see an American company doing well in
ham
radio, as opposed to having to buy everything from Asia.
Absolutely. Well, certainly we try to live up to that. And, you know, there's a couple of good American radio companies right now, at least in terms of HF transceivers ourselves and Flex out there. We compete, you know, we're good, we're very respectful of each other and compete with what we're doing and stuff. But I think we all think we're doing a better job on each side. But certainly from the QRP standpoint, we're very strong in that area, in the digital signal processing stuff. The same DNA that goes into our K4 started in the earlier radios, like the KX3, KX2. A lot of the same code base evolved into what's inside the K4. So there's a QRP DNA in there in quite a strong way in the bigger radios. But if we try to build everything here in the States, you know, we have to buy parts from all around the world because you never know where they're coming from in some cases. But we try to get as much as we can down here. All of our sheet metal is fabricated in California, actually, right now, through several vendors, some in Silicon Valley, some down in Central California, San Luis Obispo. One vendor there has been with us for 20 years. We've got circuit board fabrication taking place both in the U.S. and offshore, but the assembly all takes place in the U.S., right in Silicon Valley. And because we want it close to home when there's problems so we can stay on top of it. And we do all the final tests and assembly in the factory out of Monterey Bay, just outside of Silicon Valley. So we've kept that there, too. And all of our design teams over here, too.
Okay. How many employees do you have?
Under 50. It varies anywhere from the, I would say, it dips down to the high 30s and then, you know, getting close to 50 in that area. I use a lot of, we use a lot of outside subcontractors for purchasing assembly house in terms of doing the final assembly on the surface mount circuit boards. That takes a fair amount of capital investment. They've got the, I call them big pizza ovens, but the reflow infrared ovens for surface mount and volume, they do that for us. That's over in Silicon Valley. I've got several vendors there. And also down, actually, on the Monterey Bay where we live, now there's vendors down in the south end of the bay that build a lot of our products for us also.
Okay.
Yeah. So
Well, thank you very much.
Okay, well, thank you. Enjoyed talking to you here, and it's glad to be at Dayton here this year, too.
I'm glad to be able to talk to you at night where it's quiet.
Thank you. My voice likes it, too.